This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
It is time again for Tech Plus here on your favorite station, and with myself, Jon Engelbrecht, and also Kane, who joins us as per usual, talking about all the biggest tech, not only in South Africa, but in the world for the past 7 days since we last spoke. Kane, hello, what did we miss?
Speaking of the world, South Africa, which is positioned swiftly on the world, actually got hit by a solar magnetic storm.
And then did you see the photos
of the sky
the other night? Yeah,
to die for.
Not here in our area. I think the closest was in Cape Town.
But it was amazing, eh?
And in Australia they took some amazing photos.
The coolest stuff always happens out of my sight.
Oh man,
you know, normally when I go outside it's just normal stars. Imagine that day you go outside and you just check all this auras and I'd be like, wow. So South Africa experienced a G4 severe geomagnetic storm on Friday morning, and this comes after it warned that an Earth-directed coronal mass ejection, or CME, was expected to impact the planet on Thursday, 10 October 2024. SANSAS said the source of the CME was a 1.8x solar flare that occurred on the 9th of October. I felt the heat, you know? It's actually a lot this week. We felt some serious temperatures.
Yeah, it was something different.
Definitely not a normal. And it was like a humid, bergy, windy kind of heat.
Yeah.
It actually felt a lot like what it felt. That's kind of like the weather in Dubai. It's very much like that.
That's just not my kind of weather.
You get used to it, actually. It's actually not that bad. It's nice having hot, warm. You know what it is, actually? It's very interesting because, at least when I was in Dubai, I found that all the time you're in these air-conditioned places and stuff, you actually get cold. It's like 15 to 20 degrees Celsius inside.
I'd still prefer that.
And if you sleep with your window open, it's a cash 35. So when you're chilling at 15, you're chilly, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd rather do the 15, please.
And I was staying with a friend of mine from Armenia, and he is used to highly colder climates. So he was pumping the air conditioning to the max. I said, freezing cold. In the middle of Dubai, cold. Didn't make sense. So a solar flare happens, you know, it can be various causes from it, but what actually happens is it's like the sun ejects a huge amount of mass.
Yeah.
And that mass creates an energy wave, and that energy wave just tumbles towards us, and sometimes it hits us. And when it does, our geomagnetic field actually protects us. And this is what I don't know why I find this so interesting, but it is something very cool.
Is,
I think that
is.
You have something like the sun eject this massive amount of, you know, solar magnetic radiation, geomagnetic energy. And the thing that protects us from it isn't because our atmosphere is so dense that it cushions the impact of this radiation. It's because at our core, you know, at the Earth's core, we have nickel and various metals that mix together, and from this mixing create like a magnetic charge, and this is called the geomagnetic field that we have. Mm. And that radiation, that geomagnetic storm, is partially blocked, mostly blocked by a magnetic field.
Mm.
You know, and normally when you have a magnetic field, if you have two magnets and they're positive and negative are close together, and you bring them closer together, when those magnets come together, that's when their magnetic fields are close together. So that's kind of what a geomagnetic storm is.
Oh, that sounds very, very interesting. Hey, listen, this week we didn't have any feedback from StarSat. Hey,
nothing.
No,
dead silence.
Absolutely nothing.
Wow, that's incredible.
No news at all.
Do you think
from StarSat. They just say to the people they're looking at refunds, you know, because people paid in advance.
Would you be asking for a refund?
Well, yes, if I paid 30 Rand.
Who are you going to ask? Are you going to ask South Africa? Or you going to ask StarSat?
I don't know StarSat. StarSat, yeah.
Why would you ask them and not South Africa?
There was a lovely lady bringing us cool drink.
Thank you.
She knows we talk a lot when we do this show. Yeah, but, you know, StarSat. So people asking for you know, their money back. Because they've been now without, what's it, 2 weeks without television, no access at all to the channels. And StarSat, I think they kind of accepted defeat. Or maybe there's something going on in the background that we don't know about. Just for those who don't know, StarSat was closed, what was it, a week ago? Two weeks ago?
Yeah, they were stormed more.
Yeah, by ICASA, the regulator of communication in South Africa, and they just stole all their equipment. Not stole it.
Might as well be stole. They just came there, ripped it up and left.
Yeah, and they damaged it apparently as well. So those things are worth so much. And now, you know, they're trying to get an actual license to carry on. But I just don't know. Somehow, I just don't see it happening anymore because they've now been running illegally for a year.
South Africa said pay, they said no ways. South Africa shut them down, they said no ways. And now they're like, can we have our license back? They're like, no ways, you know.
Yeah.
No surprise
there. You know what really gets to me? On social media, they still sort of paint the picture that there's nothing wrong, like
business as usual.
Like there's no license problem. They make it sound like there's just a problem with the feed and they will restore the service as soon as possible. They're not going into... I wonder who said that to them. They're not going into details.
Damage control,
yeah.
Definitely.
They're not going into details and saying, you know, the equipment's gone or whatever. They just like, we're aware of problems on the feed and stuff.
I think their biggest fear right now, genuinely, is mass refund requests.
Yeah.
Because if they got back online tomorrow, the guy that was like, you know, this is rubbish, I'm going to cancel my account tomorrow, he's not going to cancel it.
Yeah.
But if that same guy doesn't come online the next day and he hears about 10, 20 people all calling to cancel their subscriptions, he's like, hell yeah, let's cancel this thing. Where do I go online? And all of a sudden, they just have a mega subscription cancellation problem, and that you can't get back from.
Mm-mm.
You can put the service back online while your subscribers are still there, but if your subscribers have left...
Exactly.
And you come back online.
That's a big blow, eh?
It's a big blow.
So that makes the chances even...
So they're trying to protect themselves from mass subscriber runoff, basically. But, I mean, I do feel a little bit bad for them because they were operating in South Africa illegally. That's what I don't feel bad for them for. But then when South African police rocked up and they were like, you know, give us your equipment, they're like, you have to be very careful. They're like, we're going to take it. They're like, okay, but be careful. We're connected to the rest of Africa.
Yeah.
They're like, we're taking it. And they just took everything.
Yeah, and then they were like, but can't we have a discussion?
Can we just chat about this?
Yeah, can we please talk about it?
And they left with their equipment, and their international broadcasting ceased as well. They weren't able to broadcast into the rest of Africa
either. Yeah, they just unplugged everything.
Definition of don't leave it all up to one plug.
Yeah.
Like one wall socket, the whole company is in one wall socket. Like you can unplug everything but not that. And the guy's like, oh no, it's over now.
Oh, they just could have gone for the DB board anyway. That would shut down the whole bloody place. But shame, man, you know. And then they loaded all the TVs, took the TVs and the flat screens.
They should ought to cover the license fee. Roughly.
Yeah, they stole everything. I think they took everything in, just except the staff. They didn't take the staff.
No, they left them. That's horrible. That's a bad
They just left them there in their little prayer circle. Shame back.
That's crazy. Imagine being a staff member there. Like, you don't know to stop them or to let them go. You don't know what to do. You don't
know I wouldn't interfere. They've got guns. But but the big thing is they obviously know they won't get paid now, you see.
They won't. I mean, how do you pay if you don't have any money?
They're unemployed now, basically.
But, you know, they must still have employee protection. So they've got a few choices.
True.
Bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Or try and... Like, I think they're in a very difficult situation because they can go bankrupt, but then that's just a massive problem in of itself. They can try wait it out, but they got to pay every month while they wait it out. Yeah, they can try let go some staff, but they have to. They actually have to pay. Some staff might get paid out 6 months, 1 year.
Yeah,
can't let. So very tricky situation.
And it's also a bad situation for the staff, you know, because Christmas is just around the corner, and you know, being without income this time of year is very, very scary. In fact.
Especially with all the mobile callers calling you to try and sell you stuff. How are you going to buy all the Christmas gifts that all the banks offer you, like insurance? Man, cold calling's not bad, eh? I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I get cold calls now. It's not even a human being anymore. They don't even have the decency to send the person. Just send the robot. Hello, nah, he doesn't care.
Yeah, because we hurt the feelings of the human callers, so they just gave it to the robot.
You was like, the one job I'll actually give up. But I like answer my phone, it's like, this is an important consumer, and I just ended up, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, same, yeah.
But apparently there is the South African Information Regulator will soon take decisive action against direct marketers contravening the Protection of Personal Information Act, or POPIA.
Mm.
The Information Regulator Chair Pansy Tukule told 702 that the watchdog is finalizing the publication of a guidance note which efficiently and effectively says telemarketing amounts to electronic communication and must adhere to POPIA. But I'm firmly in the belief that these teleprompt marketers that are here in South Africa, they absolutely 120% don't have permission to call you.
Yeah.
Not a chance. 80%, 90% of them.
Yeah, they like living dangerously, you see.
I probably get out of 10 spam callers, one of them might actually be a legitimate company that actually has my number, that's actually trying to sell me something that's useful to me. But the rest of them are.
But have you got Truecaller and a spam filter?
Well, I had Truecaller on my Samsung, and when I came to iOS, I just never ended up installing it. And what a difference it makes not having that.
Now you got to get it back, man.
You just feel blind.
Yeah, mine is so strict, I can't even have family members calling me. They don't even get through.
Sometimes, I feel so bad saying this, but sometimes, like, someone will come to vendor service to me. Like, maybe an Uber's coming to pick me up and they'll call me and I'll, like, say their name, but it'll have their previous job, like Handyman Steve. Oh. I know what you did before Uber.
It's so funny, those custom names, hey?
So people can custom name you. You don't want to be known as that rude guy from Leisure Island, you know? Yeah. On Truecaller, can you imagine?
Listen, my phone was once ringing and it literally, on Truecaller, somebody named it the P word. And I was like, oh my word, should I answer or what?
What could he want from me?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is insane. No, man, that is crazy. So apparently the organization held a meeting to engage with players in the sector where most argue that telephonic direct marketing doesn't constitute electronic communication. They argue that telephonic messages are transmitted immediately and are not stored in the network or the device of the recipient until it's received. We did research and we were assisted by IT experts. We came to the conclusion that as far as the regulator is concerned, a telephonic call is an electronic communication. It's so, like, I mean, the argument here is to say that a phone call is not electronic communication. You are literally communicating via an electronic device.
Exactly.
You can't go around that so many ways. There's only one definition. You're definitely not communicating via wood. You know, it's definitely an electronic nature. And it is definitely of a communication nature. So we'll see what happens, but I've heard this before. I mean, I've even been the guy who said, you know, where did you get my number from?
And yeah, that's usually the first question.
And then, you know, blah, black sheep comes out and they don't know what to say, you know, and they just kind of make up an excuse, I guess. But I've never really seen someone get in trouble for, you know, this company has been penalized for making too many electronic phone calls. I don't think I've ever really seen any, like, punishment for
not
circumventing
really.
It. But nonetheless, apparently some crackdowns are happening. And when was the last time, you are MTN, aren't you?
Yes.
When was the last time they, like, marketed a big deal to you and...
Ooh, there was actually recently some kind of upgrade call or something. I didn't take the call.
Already?
Yeah, they're trying to sell me a new contract or something. I think it's that time again.
And do you think, how would you say?
No, I think how time flies. It is actually time for a new one. November.
The new upgrade, eh?
Yeah. Mm. And that's another 2 years.
Would you stay with MTN?
Yeah, I'm quite happy actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And you, are you, what are you on?
I'm on Vodacom. I mean, I'm on Vodacom and Telkom.
Are you both?
I have, yeah. We use different operators for different things sometimes. And sometimes the LTE is actually pretty good with Vodacom. I think the 5G network with Vodacom is probably one of the best mobile network related tariffs here in the area. I wouldn't say it's the most coverage, but like you could literally put the Bluetooth on your phone and have better coverage than Telkom. So apparently MTN is on the rebound after getting things under control in its Nigeria operation, with dividends and earnings expected to grow in the near future. This is according to Centico Capital's speaker on Business Day TV. If you look at MTM, it's all about unlocking some value in the Nigerian operation. This follows the MTN group reporting a 20.8% decline in service revenue and a 7.39 billion rand loss in half year results. Jeez, man, 7 billion rand is
that's a lot of money.
Huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Because
that's
a problem when you've become such a big company. If you slide 10%, you're talking billions, eh?
Exactly.
And I mean, if you lose 7 billion in half a year, if you can just think about how much food and wellness that is for people, that's an insane amount of money. Mm-mm. So this was attributed to its macroeconomic factors, including the further devaluation of the Nigerian naira and operational challenges to Sudan due to the ongoing conflict. Poor Nigeria. You know, every single business that's flipping sucking just blames their currency. I mean, Multi-Choice goes down, DSTV's in trouble. They're like, the naira. MTN's like, the naira. Every time it's the naira. You know, like you'd think Nigeria has such a big role in Africa.
Yeah, shame.
It's quite funny. It's like not the first time I've read about it, but I think it's quite sticky because, you know, in your earnings report, you gotta have some reasoning for your investors, and I guess the naira falling has worked for 20 years, especially with the, you know, remember back in the day when you could get like 20 billion Nigerian dollars for your bread and stuff, right? When there's a mega inflation. I mean, that kind of set that. Who couldn't use that as an excuse?
Yeah.
It's like we have 5 billion from Nigeria, but it only roughly translates to about 20 rand.
Mm.
So apparently also another item is Checkers 60 and 60 has got some upgrades coming. How are you feeling about your Checkers 60 service here in the area?
No, I love it.
I love it.
I love it. They must just be careful. I've got construction in the area at the moment. I don't want them driving into a hole or something. But listen, I'm very happy with their service. They're always on time. It's amazing.
Imagine that you get a message like your delivery driver's been missing for 6 hours, but it should be fine. He's going to be well fed. He could see what he was bringing you.
That's a good one. Hey, but their app had a massive overhaul.
Really?
A massive makeover.
I've seen that.
I just woke up and it auto-updated, and I saw the Checkers icon, little icon on your phone home screen, and there was a little tag that said new. And I was like, and then I opened it, and the app looks completely different. Did you see?
Yes, and apparently that app update also comes with 10,000 new Checkers Hyper products.
I actually saw new stuff on there. I was wondering.
So you actually seeing what they started betaing?
It's beautiful. I love it.
Love it, eh?
It's really streamlined.
Compared to Woolworths?
It's much better still.
Really,
Yeah.
So the new app allows users in the area to shop for products like camping and outdoor gear, small appliances, baby products, toys, kitchens, and home electronics. A My Broadband reader in Johannesburg noticed that the Checkers 6060 app on their Android device had been updated.
Yeah.
They can now buy Checkers Hyper products and access the app's new features. It hasn't made its way to iOS yet. So,
you don't have it yet.
I don't have the app. I've only seen it on my Samsung.
You saw the layout and everything.
Did you see it,
how different it is?
I know, and I was quite pleased that it wasn't on iOS.
And the opening screen is so pretty as well. And now when you used to order and then you can track the driver and all that stuff, or it shows you how they're shopping and you can see how the items are falling into the cart.
Yeah.
They changed that as well. It looks a bit more. You'll see.
I wish I could meet the silent hero in this garden route, or specifically Nasna area, that has made it possible, or at least the group of people that I hope work together to make it possible to be able to have so many delivery services here.
Yeah.
I can get on my phone, and before I've even left my house, I can get the best products from Spar, Pick and Pay and Woolworths delivered straight to my door.
Yep.
And compare the prices amongst each other and yeah, everything. And they arrive in the house. Same day.
Yep.
Every product, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You know, at one stage, we called Checkers out of stock because every second product on my favorite list is out of stock.
Didn't make it.
Yeah, but I think they kind of improved on it in the meantime, which is good.
It's going to be like the KFC ice cream machine thing.
Yeah.
It's like, our machine's not working. The guy's got like crumbs all over his face. Couldn't out of donuts today, I'm afraid. You know, specifically the chocolate. I have some other news as well. A South African computer giant is apparently going to be making it big with a 20 million rand cybersecurity play. Mustek has acquired a majority stake in security operations center as a service provider, Cyberantix, from Swazi Africa IT in a 20 million rand deal. The transaction comprises a transfer of 8 million rand in shares and 12 million shareholder loan for 70% of Cyberantix. Multinational IT service provider Nil Data Africa will continue to hold the remaining 30% interest in Cyberantix. AO Technologies first announced the transaction in a notice published on the JSE news service after the market closed on Wednesday. So there you go. Some cybersecurity companies getting funded or bought out, should I say, acquired here in South Africa. And also in other news as well, we have SABC, which has apparently started selling land to raise money.
Oh, my Lord. It's
truly to the day of our lives.
Actually here. Get you this.
Literally like an episode of Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, shame,
the man. South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, through Brawl Auctions and Sales, will auction off three pieces of land in Durban Central to raise funds. The auction will take place on the 16th of October, 2024. The public broadcaster's financial situation is dire, with the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies calling for change to the SABC's funding model, as well as a greater support from taxpayer funds. Man, it's always the same with SABC. I kind of feel bad, you know. Like, I wish their revenue model didn't revolve around getting people to pay their TV licenses badly.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the worst. This is not working. It's not the good model. It just starts killing.
They really should just scrap it. I don't know why it's still there.
That must just
it isn't working.
They must make it a derivative of some other, like, up value added tax or something like that. I don't know. Figure something out. But
before we go for a music break now, wasn't there a story this week also about their signal that was going to be switched off?
Yes, I heard about that as well. Their analog signals getting turned off, and how they, I think this is maybe why they're selling land to try and, you know, create enough capital to do it. But this land that they're selling, the combined plot size is 8,944 square meters, which is about 9 pretty huge pieces of house land. You know, it's quite a space. It's quite a space indeed. The agents say the property is surrounded by hospitals, hotels, shops, and businesses, and the area is also a wide variety of. So they're literally dropping some of their high level properties into the market to try and raise. That's really bad.
Yeah, that's, I think didn't Telkom do the same recently as well?
They did.
Selling properties.
It did, and it's not a. I mean, maybe it's a strategic play. Maybe that's why they hold the properties for times like this, but.
It could be.
Just because you have the reserve fund doesn't mean it's good that you're dipping into it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a bit concerning.
What does it tell us? Yeah. Right, let's go for some music.
Let's do it.
Yes, welcome back to Tech Plus on this Saturday. It's Jan and Kane with you, and we are discussing the week's biggest tech stories. Something really big in the news also this week, I had it in almost all my news bulletins as it evolved, was Hurricane Milton. Following so shortly on the heels of Hurricane Helene. So that two hurricanes back-to-back, basically, in Florida.
I saw a guy on TikTok, right, who he was like kind of going famous probably because a lot of people were in the Florida area who were passing by this individual.
Was it the boat guy?
Was the boat guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's pretty famous, right? He's pretty famous. And obviously, naturally, if I was, you know, if a mega huge like hurricane, if there was a tornado landing on the heads and in its place were houses flying into the air, I think the last thing I would do would be seek refuge in my little dinghy yacht.
He was so confident.
But he went in and he said, and his words exactly were, if it worked for Noah, your work for me. And this guy climbed into his little boat and starved off what would probably be some of the biggest hurricanes I've seen on camera, and that caused some of the most devastation I've ever seen. I mean, it rewrites tornado. It was literally deathly large.
Yeah, but I saw comments afterwards. But you know, I didn't see it from an official source, but they said he's okay.
Yes.
They actually took him in. They raised funds for him on GoFundMe or whatever. Took him in. They took him to safety. He was staying somewhere in a house. And apparently his boat was smashed into the wall.
Wow. Insane.
So I don't know how true that is, but I mean, it could very well be true. So if he stayed on it, I'm sure he was so confident in that boat of his. No, you'll be fine. The freaking thing doesn't even have a door. It's open on the back, but no, he's going to be fine. Eh? He's going to be fine. He's got his supplies and everything.
He survived, literally, yeah. On a boat. Goes to show, when in doubt, and there's a big water-based weather anomaly.
Yeah, he was so confident in that boat. I want to be that confident.
I wonder how safe it must be. I wonder how safe it is if an earthquake hits while you're in a boat. I guess it's safe until the water has a meltdown and hits you with a tsunami.
Yeah,
I think you don't feel it. Maybe you feel it, but you'll definitely the wave that comes afterwards will probably send you.
With a tsunami, you're gonna go and visit people far in town on the hills.
That's so fucking.
I think so. But I mean, just generally, he's okay. I don't know about his boat. It doesn't sound like the boat made it. So they essentially saved his life thanks to social media and stuff.
In the world where you can become famous being the silly guy that stayed in your boat during a hurricane and survived.
Yeah, but there were idiotic people out there, man.
Yeah.
In underwear, standing there with the American flag draped around them, standing there with their arms open and screaming at the storm, take me.
Wasn't there over 100 death toll? It was like pretty significant.
Yeah, it's still climbing, but it's probably those stupid people.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get no brownie points if you're going to go do that stuff.
No, if you put your arms up and say, take me, take me, and you're dead, I've no sympathy.
I saw a person who said they were going to stay. They were on TikTok. They said they were going to stay in their house, and then they had another video where they were like, they were still in their house, and the water was in their house. The only difference is they were on the second floor, and the water was in the room. So, whole bottom floor underwater. That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, but some of those Americans are crazy, eh?
Apparently Hurricane Milton also knocked out power for millions of people.
Yeah.
Power outages affected more than 3.3 million customers in Florida. That's rookie numbers. South Africa was at like 60 million people affected by power outages for 2 years. 14 years. if you aggregate it all. Out of the 11.5 million customers tracked by PowerOutage.us, which collects data from utilities, Milton made landfall as an extremely dangerous Category 3 hurricane. Wow. So that's insane, eh? 11.5 million people, 3.3 million people didn't have power.
Yeah, but listen, I'm so glad you're mentioning power now. Do you know what today means?
Power.
Today marks the day 200 of no load shedding in South Africa. Shall
wow,
we? Shall we?
Yeah, we give it a, clap give it a, for that. Give it a. Even if it was all fake to begin with, I still will celebrate.
Yeah, 200 days of keeping the lights on, eh? And I must say, I didn't even have a local power interruption in the meantime.
No.
Mine's been on solidly now for 200 days.
I just find it strange how overnight they solved that problem.
So quickly, eh?
So quickly. Didn't even lift a spanner.
Yeah, so convenient.
Even if you did lift a spanner, you couldn't lift enough spanners in 24 hours to fix the problem.
And they're still arresting people. This week they had another guy who was caught with copper, but years ago, but he's only been prosecuted now.
Really?
So they're clamping down on they're really clamping down on the sabotage, and that seems to be making a big difference. But also all the new renewable energy that came online is really helping Eskom.
Yeah.
Because there's this lady. As a young lady, she's responsible for keeping the grid steady.
Okay.
So she's got, I don't know why I'm stuttering all of a sudden. She's got a grid, like a screen in her house. And everywhere she goes, she's got screens to check, you know, like graphs. Is everything still okay? And is demand, like, I don't know, she sleeps with a monitor next to her bed as well. Like, is demand and supply all right, you know? Anyway, so she said that... they're finding during the day that the solar, you know, we had that solar buzz where everybody, yes, just every second house got solar panels. And that's helping during the day. That's carrying the grid during the day. And those people are running off that and using that. Yeah. And that leaves more electricity for us without the solar panels.
Yes.
At night to use. But they say there's a big dip because at night there's a drop because of all the solar not getting energy anymore from the sun.
And everything charging back
And
up.
Then there's a bit of a more pressure on the grid at night. But they balance it out. It's her job to make sure that it's balanced out and there's no demand exceeding supply and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
Quite an interesting job for a young lady, eh?
They're doing their job well as well.
Yeah, she's doing a great job, eh?
That's a
She's probably got an
stressful
app on her phone as well with the graph next to her, you know, just waking up. Oh, no, demand exceeding supply.
She's probably growing a growth out of her right neck of stress. materializing itself as a human being growing out of her
It's head. A huge responsibility, hey?
I would be stressing.
For one lady.
I would live, stress, eat, repeat.
How do you sleep and not...
You don't. You're in a constant state of alertness.
She said in her contract, her employment contract, she needs to be on standby 24/7, 365. So I don't think she really sleeps, eh?
No. Not a good plan.
No,
someone
man
might want to warn her.
She's still very young, so hopefully
that's why they chose
she survives.
Like, she could last at least 5 years. Yeah. That's crazy. I hope we can continue it like this. I hope we
can same.
Make a positive change, and I hope there's not something untoward going on under the radar that we don't know about.
Yeah, if we don't come back to the show next week and we disappeared, it's because we spoke the truth and we've been executed.
You heard it here. Now, it's just something very interesting, okay? Right? This, for me, is crazy. Did you see how hardcore Elon Musk is promoting Trump?
Dude, he literally jumped onto the stage with him.
Dude, you know, they had an interview.
And it was so cringy.
They had an interview with him, and they were like, you know, what do you think is going to happen if Trump doesn't win? He's like, no, I'm screwed. Like, I'm totally wrecked.
Yeah.
I have no chance. He's like, I'm very public about what I want.
But why is Trump so... why is Elon so, you know...
Well, I think Elon says, he's very public about it, that he believes Kamala Harris is just a puppet. He says that he feels that she is just the voice of behind a teleprompter. She's going to say whatever a teleprompter says. So based on what is that very thin reasoning, he's throwing a huge amount of support Trump's direction. That but we got to remember who we're dealing with here, right? This is Trump. So he's not going to keep it like all relax. He's not going to like entertain both sides of the partnership. So he just, this is, you know, his biggest partner by far is Elon Musk right now. There's no doubt Trump's biggest supporter right now is Elon Musk. And just a few hours ago, okay, Trump's on doing whatever he's doing the hustle, grinding the grind. He's busy in a chat. And he says in a speech in Detroit, former President Donald Trump seemed to suggest that he would stop from operating if he would stop self-driving cars from operating if he got elected. So he was basically saying, quote, this is in quotations, do you like autonomous? ? Does anybody like autonomous vehicles? Know what that is, right? ? When you see a car driving along, some people do, I don't know, a little concerning to me, but the autonomous vehicles, we're going to stop from operating. He said
that.
And I was like, what okay, is so he not going to say?
Next week, no more buddy-buddy. Next week, he's going to go on stage with Kamala Harris.
He's going to be backing her up.
Just like it.
I was like...
Because people were saying, why is he so, you know, like brown-nosing Trump at the moment? And then someone actually said online, and that could be true, is because Elon wants, what he called, tax exemptions on these businesses in the States. And Trump's going to give that to him. And that's what he wants, because it means more money for him and his people. Could be, maybe it's one of his motives, but what else?
Yeah, you know.
Because it's not like Elon needs any more fame.
No, but being friends with the president and being a guy who's doing a lot of things that don't necessarily use the traditional channels, like where would you start if you wanted to send someone into space?
Yeah.
Where would you start if you wanted to put a satellite into orbit?
Where would you start if you had to
make
go
friends,
to Mars?
Make
where
friends
would you
Trump?
Start if yeah. you had to put a piece of electronics into someone's brain? This is his like five businesses he's currently running. Like, what would you do if you were going to start a free speech platform? You know, like everything aligns with being friends with the president.
But the funniest thing is, you know, in the past, Musk actually bashed Trump for a few things. Eh? Yeah, he wasn't a fan, and now they all of a sudden. All those things are forgotten. Now they're big chummies.
Just makes me think of the word quid pro quo. You know?
Yeah. Like who? Now very suspicious, eh? And he actually, when Trump returned recently to Pennsylvania, Butler, where he was almost assassinated with that bullet that went past his ear, that's where Trump, where Musk jumped onto the stage and joined him for
really?
A little dance. And that was
see if he could dodge a bullet as well.
Very, very cringe. Very
did
cringe.
You watch it? I didn't watch
just
it.
Just a piece, and I was like, geez, Elon, just get off. Get out of town.
Get out of here. That is crazy. Apparently, AMD, now we've spoken about NVIDIA a lot. Everybody who doesn't know what NVIDIA is, NVIDIA makes graphics cards and the things that help people play computer games, but it also builds the things that helps people run cryptocurrencies, and it also builds the things that helps people use AI, right, and leverage AI and helps big companies run businesses that utilize AI and they give that processing power. So apparently AMD, which is NVIDIA's biggest competitor, they literally have the monopoly of the year. They make more money than you can even ever imagine. AMD's AI chips are coming, apparently. AMD says the M1325X shipping is set for Q4 and will potentially beat NVIDIA's H200. NVIDIA's H200 GPU is basically the best GPU that NVIDIA has for AI-related workloads. And NVIDIA seems a step ahead. It'll ship several billion dollars of its next-gen Blackwell 8200 GPU in Q4 too. AMD says its Blackwell competitor, the M1355X, won't arrive till 2H 2025. So we still have these two contenders fighting it out for some market share, but NVIDIA really much still having quite the leg up on AMD in regards to the generative side of things. And this is what I just before we go for the music break, this is very, very interesting to me, right? Now we've evolved a lot in digital, you know, in our digital behavior, especially when it comes to employment, right? Now, most of the time, you know, you would go to an interview probably. That would be your first step. Maybe you'd do like a written application to a job back in the day, and then you'd get maybe a letter to say come for an interview, and then yeah. you'd go for an interview. Nowadays, most of the interviews are probably just online. Mm-hmm. In fact, most CV reviews are done online. It's not like you take your CV to a job, they quickly look through it and ask you questions about it. It's done online, and if it looks good enough, then you're asked to come in. So people have become pretty bored or over reading these CVs, right? So naturally AI comes along and they realize, hey, we can let AI read the CVs and just pop out the ones that they think is the best.
Yo.
And the people who write the CVs think, well, you know what? Actually, instead of writing a CV, I'll just get AI to write my CV. So now you've got AI writing CVs and AI reviewing CVs and humans getting hired. What an interesting conundrum.
Yes.
What an interesting conundrum. The AI writes the CV, the AI reviews the AI CV, and you, the human, get hired.
Yeah.
Welcome to your future job, sir.
Oh, lovely.
This is your AI, Freddy. He'll do all your work for you. You just got to sit here and be quiet.
Yes.
like, what's going to happen?
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. It kind of makes me nervous. I don't want to write a CV now. Robot's just going to read it.
Yeah.
I need to, like, get a robot that's, like, very persuasive in its communication to other robots. Like, what is
yeah.
what are robots like?
Like, so now robots are our friends.
Right, robots read your CVs, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And robots write your CVs and robots read your CVs.
Yeah, I mean the stuff you can do on ChatGPT nowadays. You give it a few paragraphs and ask it to summarize that text for you. It turns it into three or four sentences at the click of a button.
AI is actually something that is so powerful. It should be illegal, but it will never be illegal, and the world will never be the same because of it.
Yeah, and you know, when it summarizes something for me that would take me so long to write, I'm like, damn, this should cost money.
No, I really think because of AI, we have embarked on what is going to be a significant change to behavioral traits of human beings in the workplace, like completely 180'd it. Because let me give it to you this way. If you use the AI to talk to me, so you every time before you send me an email, you run it through the AI, you're going to sound like probably one of the most professional people on the planet.
Yeah.
And there's no way for me to differentiate that. There's no way for me to tell, you know, like back in the day, people were actually so honed in and queued up that just by the way you speak and the, what you say, they can determine kind of how professional you are.
Mm.
Now that line is completely blurred.
Yeah.
To the point where at some point you're going to say whatever you're going to say to your phone and the AI is going to make it sound better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to change what you've said and how you've said it and the order that you've said it until it arrives at the person's ears in the perfect way to sound very professional and very convincing.
But then you must sound like it as well when you get employed.
Yeah. Well.
So you have to use phrases like, in accordance with,
therefore,
furthermore... to sound very posh.
Now if you start speaking like that, people are going to be like, he's AI, don't listen to him. Yeah. This guy's not real. He's not real.
Imagine using those terms and then you like, what's up, bro?
I actually watched The Circle, which is a show on Netflix where people they try and build social influence through not seeing each other in person.
Mm.
And they had an AI come in there. And the bottom line is when people heard that there was an AI in the pretending to be a human being texting everyone.
Wow.
And nobody picked up on it.
Whoa.
Actually, the AI was the one guy everyone was like, nah, I trust this guy.
Oh, my word. That's creepy.
That's crazy, eh? It's human conversation is such a profound thing. We use it in such a lot of, you know, kind of what are you, sum you up kind of situations. Even if you just speak to someone, you can tell if you're in danger just from a conversation. You can also tell if you're about to win something, you know? Like, if you've gone up to someone with a with a prank or something and they're just like... You know, they start freaking out. Something's about to happen. And are we about to go to a music break?
Yeah, boy.
Let's do it.
And we've reached the final stretch of this week's edition of Tech Plus. If you just joined us, you're late, but not too late. Okay?
Never too late.
No, never too late. What's next on your agenda?
Next up, we're taking a look at Microsoft. And do you remember Microsoft actually got hired by the US military to build what they called HoloLenses?
No.
Which was supposed to be like an augmented reality pair of VR headsets that military-grade individuals could wear in battle and would them like heads-up displays and communicate right to their peripheral, and they would have like a three-dimensional space of digital information, and they could look at analyze stuff in AI and do all that sort of stuff. So the early demos, which included a simulation of walking on Mars, were far more impressive than the real HoloLens's experience when it shipped a year later. Microsoft used prototype units of the HoloLens for initial demos to the media, which tethered Google goggles to a mini computer you had to wear like a lanyard around your neck. Bottom line is HoloLens has now handed over that dream to Meta to basically pursue, and Meta does have probably one of the best VR headsets on the planet at the moment. And you know what's really interesting to me is Mark Zuckerberg was actually super duper invested in the metaverse, and everyone said, go AI, go AI, you gotta do AI, you gotta do AI, you gotta go AI.
Mm.
Even investors, like, what are you doing? Like, get out of the metaverse, go AI, go AI. They went AI, but you know, I think the moves that they made in VR probably made one of the biggest differences for them in terms of being prepared for this augmented reality universe. It is not the VR headset that it will make Meta super successful in that space. It's all the sub devices that try and take you as far to a VR headset as possible, but without all of the negatives of a VR headset. Glasses that aren't a whole VR headset. You don't have to step into like a motocross helmet just to you know, go online. Just a pair of glasses is all you need. You can speak to it. Some of the most interesting like AR related devices don't have any screen. The Meta VR glasses that I have, the Meta glasses, they don't have any screen. There's no display. Everything is voice controlled and button controlled. You don't need a visual. So when you strap in a visual to that as well, obviously it gets really, really cool. Next up on our news as well, Porsche is going to be recalling over 27,000 electric vehicles in the US over a battery shortage circuit issue.
Oh dear.
So yeah, if you have a Porsche EV, which you probably don't, do be sure to watch out and make sure that you get it returned. But I don't even think that particular model came back. I just think about trying to manage getting 27,000 cars back to your dealership.
Mm.
I mean, have you ever even tried to store 500 cars in a building? I mean, it's just, they're just 27,000 cars is so many, so much volume to manage all the fixes of.
Yeah, but now also with the hurricane in America, I don't know if you saw how many houses caught fire.
Caught fire?
And it was because of EVs in the garage.
Getting wet? Really? Holy
and
moly.
Because they battled putting those fires out. Because
you can't.
Obviously it's
we heard about the Tesla burning in the pool.
Yeah.
Caught on fire, driven into the pool, burned for 4 hours.
And also, you know, the flames, it's got a bit of a different color to it.
Like a blue.
Yeah, strange color.
Blue-white.
So a lot of houses actually burn because of EVs being damaged inside the garage. Let's say the roof collapsed on it and somehow it caught fire.
Wow.
Causing a lot of problems. Those EVs are dangerous.
Fire in water, can you imagine? You're in your house, it's flooding. It's literally Armageddon. There's a hurricane. Your tractor just flew away. And here your house just catches on fire.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of this flood, this rain, you're adding to the mix is now a house on fire in the water.
We really
have
all the elements. We've got wind, rain, and fire. What's next?
Guys, like on his insurance policy, did it burn down? Wash away or crumble. It's like circles all three of them. Yes. Not good. Thanks, Tesla. No. Elon Musk, stop producing Teslas. So Lexus is launching a new LX SUV with a rugged hybrid engine that's capable of surviving, you guessed it, water. Okay. So Lexus has built a new waterproofed hybrid engine. It's like they're new.
Yeah.
It's like they knew. They're like, we just need a flood and we drop this news immediately. So apparently Lexus says its newly designed parallel hybrid system integrates a motor generator with a cluster position between the engine and transmission. The setup lets it maximize torque output and maintain full-time four-wheel drive, which is good for efficiency. It's also the automaker's first system that includes both an alternator and a starter that can bypass the hybrid system in case of a failure and act as a regular petrol engine. Very, very cool. I've always liked Lexuses. I wish there were more of those in South Africa, to be quite honest with you. I think they're really, really cool. And then finally, with the Meta thing, Meta is apparently looking to develop a whole array of hardware that's AI specific as well. So a peek into the development processes at Meta Labs shows that there's potentially glasses, sneakers, a lot of wearable tech, and we'll see what exactly that brings. I'm still trying to find a real use case for a wearable piece of tech that isn't a cell phone. Like, I feel it is hard to pinpoint a piece of wearable tech beyond a cell phone that also doesn't need a cell phone to be a piece of tech.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what that kind of proprietary solution is to not having to have a phone, but also have these wearable devices that make your life a little bit easier. Like, what's the point of a Galaxy Ring if you don't have a Samsung to pay with it?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, then it's just a ring. So how do we create this utility outside of needing to be connected to a greater ecosystem? And then finally, we have the Hurricane Helene. Remember, that was the one before Milton, I believe.
Yes.
That caused some devastation, and apparently one of the North Carolina quartz mines was significantly damaged by that, and it's just reported it is back up and operational. So I guess the worst of Hurricane Helene is over, but not quite Hurricane Milton yet.
Yeah, there's still a bit of flooding after Milton, but they were expecting worse. I don't know if you saw, but at one stage, one of the mayors of one of the counties there said on TV, she said, if you're not getting out, you're going to die. She literally said that on TV. It's like, yo.
That's when you know.
Yeah, that's when you know, hey.
And some people are, and me as well, when the Nizza fires were here, I was like, it's cool, I'll just stay at home, I'll be fine. And then I saw like flames that were bigger than the trees on some house. I was like, yeah, I think it's time to go. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's time to stick around.
Exactly.
And on that note,
on that fiery note, it's time to say goodbye.
It is time to say goodbye.
It's time to get out of town.
Oh, before we go, I forget, remember Brazil banned X?
Yes.
Apparently they've let them back in.
Oh, I wonder who Elon phoned to fix it there.
Phoned a friend. 50-50 with the audience.
Made friends with one of the mayors there.
Ask the audience. Man, and so he's back in. That's really cool. And finally, NVIDIA's RTX 5070 is repeatedly set to launch alongside the RTX 5090 at CES 2025. That's it for anybody looking for the new generation of NVIDIA graphics cards for your work or gaming setup. There is a reported release date for 2025. So if you do have any 40 series GPUs that you're holding on to, do be sure to sell those before the release of that fifth gen GPU if you want to get a good deal out of it and hopefully have some cash lying around to buy a 50 series. But if you're still in the 30 series range and you're looking to upgrade, definitely would wait for the fifth gen cards to come out. Take the knock not getting as much for your third gen GPU, but still definitely getting a way better price, way better price on your 40 series GPU as soon as those 50 series land. And I had my doubts last year when we were on the third gen and the fourth gen launched. I thought, nah, there's no way the second hand market and the first hand market's prices are going to drop that much, and they dropped. So something to keep in mind if you're considering a graphics card upgrade in the next 6 months. And now it really is time to say goodbye.
Yes, the curtain's going to drop now on us. Caden, thanks so much for another great show, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you again here next week, same time, same place.
Thank you so much for having us, and thanks for everyone listening in. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.